Well, it is good to be with you again this evening. Trust you had a good day. I had a good day today. The weather was beautiful and good to be in Goshen, Indiana. I was here one time in the end of January, and I couldn't say it was real good to be here. It was about 9 degrees. And for someone that's lived in Florida for 39 years, 9 degrees is, it's enough to cause your blood to slow down. But anyhow, some of you come south in the winter, and I would invite you to do that. You're welcome to come to Florida and spend some time with us down there. In the wintertime, it's not hot usually. The weather is beautiful. And I know a number of you have been down there, and you know that. But you can hit a bad week when it's cold. When it's cold in Florida, it's really cold. We think it is, anyhow. Maybe you don't, but yes. I want to say thank you to the warm fellowship and just the interaction. I've really been blessed since I've been here. The meals and fellowship and your kind words have been a blessing to me, and continue to cover your prayers as we get in the subject tonight and the rest of the week here. The Lord has directed me to bring a message on overcoming offenses this evening, and as I was looking at this message and thinking about it, in pastoring, a lot of people that I have worked with or counseled or tried to help, there's been a lot of times that there's been something that has happened in the past, an offense that has happened in their life in the past that they've never really overcome. They've never really been able to deal with the offense that was brought into their life or came into their life through another individual. And it continued to affect their lives. And I want you to think about this concerning offenses. It's kind of like, especially if we don't deal with offenses properly, if we don't forgive. You know, Jesus, he taught about how to deal with offenses, and he said to forgive. And if we don't forgive, it's kind of like, if you can imagine someone leading me around with a rope, someone who has offended me, and there's a rope attached to me, and they're just leading me around. Because without forgiveness, it keeps us attached to that individual. And that's all we can think about is what that individual has done to us. And it affects our whole life. It affects how we, in our other relationships that we have, it just affects our everyday life. And as we get into this evening, I want us to think about how to deal with that. You know, you take a scissors and you cut that rope off, that attachment to that individual who has offended us. Sever that. Forgive and release. And we become free individuals from the offense. Now turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. We will start there in Luke chapter 17. As you're turning to Luke 17, we're going to be looking at the first four verses there. But in Matthew 18, verse 7 says, Jesus speaking, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses will come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Jesus saying that it must needs be that offenses come. In other words, offenses will be coming. And we live in a fallen world, and we don't always respond to each other correctly. And we have relational difficulties, and offenses do come. Now, let's look at Luke 17. In Luke 17, starting at verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck than cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Jesus speaking here as well concerning offenses. One of the things that came to me as I was preparing is that, we have the idea, we become easily offended because we think that life should always be good. That life should always be good to us. That, when things go wrong in life, we become like, what is happening? And we get upset. Sometimes we get angry when life is not going well. If someone offends us or says something that is not kind, and we become offended quickly. But Jesus, in what he's saying, he's saying, look, offenses are going to come. So we're not to be surprised when an offense comes. An offense, this word offense is a stumbling block, or it means like a snare. And as I did some research on this word offense, it actually, if you dig into it in the Greek, it's the idea of a bent over sapling. That is bent over. Remember the old snares that they used to set years ago? They used to bend over a sapling and set up a snare to catch an animal with. That's the idea. It's a snare. It's a trap. It's something. Also, the idea is that it is. If you think of a mouse trap, okay, a mouse trap, and you put either peanut butter or you put whatever on there to attract the mouse, and it's the trigger that trips that trap is the idea of what this word is. It is something that triggers. And if you think about it, that when someone offends us, when there is an offense, there's something that triggers. And we become very hurt, we become very just overcome with maybe anger or disappointment, and it's very important what we are going to do with that, or it will snare us. I'm running ahead of myself here. So it is a snare or a stumbling block. The next word I'd like to look at in this scripture where it says, take heed unto yourself, verse 3. And this means to be cautious about, apply oneself, to be aware. We are to be careful. In other words, when there's offense that happens in our life, we are to take heed that we do not become ensnared by that. That it's like a trap that is set, and we want to make sure that we do not get snared or trapped in the offense. It talks about if a brother has offended us. In this scripture, says to rebuke, which means to admonish based on value. It doesn't mean to get even with. And many times when there's an offense, when someone does something that hurts us, the human nature is wanting to get even with that individual, to get back at them for the offense that has been committed against us. But the idea here that Jesus is talking about concerning rebuke is that there you put value on this relationship. There is value on this relationship, and therefore you want to restore it, and you want to do your part in restoring that relationship. Now, I would like to talk about there's some differences in being offended. And being offended against is an unjust act committed against us. Okay? But then there's also taking up an offense. And through my years of pastoring, I have seen this happen where people will take up an offense. They choose to become offended. And there's a difference there because there are unjust things that happen to us. Okay, offenses committed against us. But there's also the whole thing of taking up an offense because of something that isn't going our way or whatever it may be. It's something we just become frustrated about, and so we become offended. And so we need to deal with that properly. Offended people have hurts and fears, so they become controlling to protect themselves. I'm sure you've seen that happen already, that people that live a lifestyle, just they're always kind of abrasive, difficult to connect with. A lot of times it's because they have taken up an offense or haven't dealt with offenses properly in their lives. Offended people are usually offenders. If because they look through that lens, their lives are just, they don't have peace and they struggle. Offended people produce much fruit such as hurt, anger, outrage, jealousy, resentment, strife, bitterness, hatred, and envy. They often build walls around themselves because of the offense. Because of whether it's an actual offense committed against them or a perceived offense, they put walls around themselves to protect themselves, which doesn't work very well in relationships. Often those who are offended do not realize that they are trapped. They're oblivious to their condition because they are so focused on the wrong that was done to them. The most effective way for the enemy to blind us is to cause us to focus on ourselves. And that is when the trap has been triggered. When we are so focused on ourselves, that's all we think about. Is what that individual did to me. And I deserve better than that. I don't understand why they did that. And you're just focused on yourself. And that is when this offense that the scripture is talking about, that is when we are ensnared or trapped and it has a hold of us. And it's very important how we deal with that, because it will affect us the rest of our lives. I mean, I have heard of individuals who have things happen to them 20 years ago, and it still has a hold of their life because they have never taken it to the cross and dealt with it properly. They never brought it to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never forgiven the individual for what has happened. Jesus made it clear that it is impossible to live in this world without being offended or offenses committed against us. Yet most believers are shocked, bewildered, and amazed when it happens. This response leaves us vulnerable to bitterness. I want to tell you a little story of... There was a brother who had been attending our church. It's been a number of years ago. And he was attending our church, and he was interested in one of the ladies in our church. And she had talked to us and said that she was not interested. But she said, for some reason or other, wherever I go, he shows up. He shows up, and whether she went to the mall, went to a store somewhere, all of a sudden he would show up. And she was asking me to help her with this, and because she didn't like it and felt like he was not leaving her alone. And so I met this brother for breakfast. And we met at a local restaurant, and we were talking there. And again, this was many years ago. And we were talking there, and I was trying to figure out how to help this brother with this, and I had to be honest with him about what was going on. And so I brought up about him, this whole thing of him showing up wherever this girl is, and he became very upset with me, became very offended, because I told him that he was, basically was telling him that he was, you know, not letting her go. He was following her, and he became very offended about that, and I tried to calm him down and tried to continue the conversation, and it went from bad to worse. And he gets up. We haven't finished our breakfast yet. He gets up, and he stomps out of the restaurant. And I thought to myself, man, did you blow that one? And so I got up and left too then, and went home and was praying about this. How do I reach this brother? How can I? He's obviously offended by what I've said to him. And so I decided that I'm going to go to his house, because he would not take phone calls for me. I knew he wouldn't. And so I decided I'm going to go to his house. So I went to his house. I knew where he lived. And he was mowing grass. And so I went to the corner of his property. His property was a rectangle shape. And I went to the one corner, and I just stood there, and I watched him mow grass. And you could tell he had his hands on the mower, and he was angry. And had his head down, and I stood there, and I decided, brother, I'm going to stand here and watch you mow grass until something happens. And so I stood there and watched him. And he kept mowing, and finally he had enough of it, and he reached down and shut the mower off, and he come walking over to me, and his face is red. And I told him, I said his name, and I said, it's obvious that I have offended you. Can you forgive me? You know, it's absolutely amazing what those words can do. People can have massive walls build up around them, and you can ask them to forgive you, and all of a sudden, that wall just, it goes away. Now, it doesn't always work that way. But in this case, it did. I mean, when I said, can you forgive me? He just, all of a sudden, I could see it in his face. It just completely obliterated the offense. And he said, yes, I forgive you. I could have said, you know, you're still doing something you shouldn't be doing. But that wasn't going to help the situation at all. You know, a lot of times we want to win the argument. When the argument becomes more important than the relationship, that's not the Spirit of Christ. And if I was going to influence him in any way, I had to do something to try to repair that relationship. And him and I, after that, we were able to talk, and him showing up where that girl was, that stopped, and our relationship was repaired, and things went well. The individual, his life is in disarray now. It's been years later, his life is in disarray, but at least I had a time of influence that I could have in his life that we could communicate and share together. There are two categories concerning offenses that I would like to look at this evening. Those who have been treated unjustly is one category. Those who believe they have been treated unjustly. And I alluded to that earlier. And it's important that we understand these two categories. Those in the second category often draw conclusions from inaccurate information. Okay? Or their information is accurate, but their conclusion is distorted. They judge by assumption, appearance, and hearsay. And so we're talking about the second category, and that is believing that you have been mistreated, in other words, perceived, choosing to be offended. And so our lives are, when that becomes the lens that we look through, when that becomes the lens, if the offense that I have picked up or chose to have in my life becomes the lens that I look through, it affects everything that I look at. All the relationships in my life, okay, it just affects husband and wife relationships. It affects parent-children relationships, employer-employee relationships. It just affects everything in our lives when we have an offense in our life that we have not dealt with properly. A perceived offense. One of the ways the enemy keeps a person in an offended state is to keep the offense hidden, cloaked in pride. Pride will keep you from admitting your true condition. Sometimes pride hinders us from admitting we are offended. We deny and repress the hurt. Pride keeps us from dealing with truth. It distorts our vision. It keeps us from the change of heart, repentance that will set us free. And 2 Timothy 2:24 and 26, the scripture is, "And they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." When that snare, that trap, that offense gets a hold of us, whether it's a perceived one or an unjust, something that has happened to us that is unjust, when that gets a hold of us and we're snared by that, the enemy is able to take us captive at his own will and just continue to bring destruction in our lives. Jesus' response. Now, I want us to think a bit about this. If there's anyone who was a victim of abuse and offense, it would have been Jesus. They ridiculed him, made fun of him, they rejected him, they beat him, whipped him, abused his body, crucified him. And so if there's anyone that could have had an offensive mindset of being offended and wanting to be retaliatory and all that, Jesus would have been the one. In Luke 23, verse 34, the first part of the verse says, Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How could he respond that way? Well, he obviously had the love of, he was God, and he had the love of God within him to respond that way. What about Joseph? Genesis 50, 15 to 21. "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." And of course, this is the context where Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery. They sold him into slavery, sold to Potiphar and was put in charge of Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife wanted to be immoral with him, and you know the story. He was the way he was treated and put in prison. And if anyone could have had a victim mindset that I am a victim, it would have been Joseph. His brothers misused him, And yet he said, when they came before him, when he was made the governor of Egypt there, he told his brothers, "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." And we have Stephen in Acts 7, verse 60. And Stephen had been preaching, and the Pharisees became very offended. And so they drug him out, and to stone him. And it says he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Now, how could he respond that way? You know, I was thinking about the three ways of responding. You know, when someone does something to us that is offensive, physically not reacting to them is one response. You know, if someone does something that is very offensive, and we sometimes, just our fleshly desires are to retaliate. Have you ever had a thought, man, I'd like to slug that guy or something like that? Have you ever had a thought like that? And you control yourself and you do not respond. That's one way of using discretion or withholding yourself. What about your thoughts, though? The whole idea, if you constrain yourself or restrain yourself from acting out physically, but what about our thoughts? And we have these thoughts about that guy this and that guy that, and thoughts that are not Christian, thoughts that are not the Spirit of Christ. And when we can overcome those thoughts and we control that, and we don't have those kind of thoughts against that person, that's one level. But there is a third level yet that I believe Jesus had. And that is when you have loving thoughts for those individuals. When you have love and you care about that individual, even in spite of the offense, you have love towards that individual. And I believe that's what Jesus had. Now, in our human nature, we cannot do that because love does not generate from us. Love comes from God. And that love of Christ that flows through us, we can extend to those who have offended us. And that love that comes from Christ, it's like a river that flows through us. We can extend to individuals that offend us. And even in perceived offenses, we can find healing and start loving those individuals. Now, offenses often come from within. Psalms 55, 12 to 14, and I'm not going to get into that just yet. We're going to get into that in a few moments. But David was lamenting the fact that the offenses were coming from those who he was close with. It was someone David worshipped with that was bringing offenses. The greatest offense often occurs within marriages, family, and the church. You know, there are a lot of offenses that happens within those relationships. That people, I mean, I've heard people, you know, refer to the whole thing that they're offended because something connected with the church, or something connected with, it could be with the pastor, something connected with their husband or their wife, or someone within the church, and they use that to justify their behavior. And so, you know, we live in a fallen world, and we have our flesh to deal with. It is to be crucified, but sometimes there's offenses that happens within the church as well. Taking up an offense or becoming offended a lifestyle of that has serious consequences. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. I'd like to read just a couple of verses there. In Matthew chapter 24. Verses 10 to 13. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus again is saying here that many shall be offended and shall betray one another. I have seen that happen in relationships where people have something that happened in their life that they are offended about, and they end up, especially husbands and wives, and they end up betraying one another because they haven't properly dealt with the offense in their past or in their life. It makes us susceptible to false teaching because we don't have discernment. If we have unforgiveness and bitterness in our life and anger, deception can set in because we lack discernment. And it says, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So it does affect our destiny on how we deal with offenses. How should we respond to offenses? This particular picture I took in Wyoming. And if it's the river I'm thinking of, that river is running uphill. Have you ever seen a river run uphill? I had no clue or no idea a river could flow uphill. I remember saying to my wife as we were driving down the canyon, I looked down at the river down below us. I'm like, we're going down, the river's going up. Something doesn't add up here. And we finally stopped. It was a place you could pull over, a place you could pull off to the side. You could pull over, and I got out of the car, and I looked at that river, and I'm like, it is going uphill. Because we were coming down. And I was like, how can that be? How can a river do that? So I ended up Googling it and trying to figure out why this river is doing that. And I still don't know exactly why it does that. But my understanding is rivers can do that depending on, maybe we have someone that's a scientist here that can figure that out. But, you know, forgiveness, It goes against the direction that we want to go. It is so hard. It is so hard to sometimes to forgive those who have wronged us, those who have offended us. It feels like, you know, I want to say this, though. That when the grace of God is in your life, the grace of God in our life, we can forgive, even when it's hard and difficult. There is grace there to forgive. We don't do this on our own. And there's a reason why that river is running uphill. But with God's grace in our life and the love of Christ flowing through us, we can extend forgiveness to those who have treated us in an unjust manner, unjust way. Let's turn to Psalms 55. I would like to look at Psalms 55. the background to this scripture. Well, maybe I'll just turn quickly while you're turning to Psalms 55. I'll look at a few scriptures here in 2 Samuel. This, of course, is when Absalom was revolting against his own father and trying to take the leadership, his kingship, from him. But in 2 Samuel 15, verse 6 says, "So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." In verse 12, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, David's counselor, from his city, even from Golah, while he offered sacrifice. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." So we have David's son, okay, he is stealing the hearts of the people from his father. And not only that, one of David's counselors, he was stealing his heart as well. This man, Ahithophel. In verse 30 of chapter 15 says, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up, and his head covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And then over in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 11, "And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, Behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life." And then verse 23, and says, in the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracles of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So David, you know, from his own household, his own son and his close advisor turned against him. And that is the background of Psalms 55. And I would like to look at the response of how David dealt with this offense in his life. And I'm going to be reading it from the NLT. I'm just going to read through it quickly. "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest, and the terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and rest." Verse 7. "I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape. Far from the wild storm of hatred. Confuse them, Lord, and frustrate their plans. For I see the violence and the conflict in the city. Its walls are patrolled day and night against invaders. But the real danger is wickedness within the city. Everything is falling apart. Threats and cheating are rampant in the streets. Is it not an enemy who taunts me? I could bear that. It is not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion and close friend. What good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. Let death stalk my enemies. Let the grave swallow them alive, for evil makes its home within them. But I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress. And the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me. Though many still oppose me, God, who has ruled forever, will hear me and humble them. For my enemies refuse to change their ways. They do not fear God. As for my companion, he betrayed his friends. He broke his promises. His words are as smooth as butter, but his heart is war. His words are as soothing as lotion, but underneath are daggers. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip away, to slip and fall. But you, O God, will send the wicked down to the pit of destruction. Murderers and liars will die young. But I am trusting you to save me. The psalmist, King David here, was dealing with offenses committed against him from close friends, from his own household. And this is how he responded. Verses 1 and 2, he comes before God with his offenses. And I want you, as we work through this, to listen closely. He comes before God with his offenses. Many times, when we have an offense that we're dealing with, we just turn it around in our minds and mull over it and mull over it day after day. And we may talk about it, maybe to our spouse or to someone else, but we just continue. We never really bring it to God. And David here, he came to God with this offense. He came to God with this offense, and it's very important because it's a sign of humility. It's saying, God, I need your help. I need your help to overcome in this offense. He cries out to God, listen to me, hear me, attend unto me. Have you ever got in your car or your truck and just by yourself went on a drive and just cried out to God? Have you ever done that? I have. With a loud voice where no one can hear you, and you cry out to God with your whole being, God, I need your help. I need your grace. I know there was times there were times that I got phone calls where people, and sometimes that happens in leadership, and it may happen even if you're not in leadership, where someone just blasts you with their whatever they're angry about. I mean, it just I remember one time. When I was at work, and this was next door to a customer of mine, and I was in lawn maintenance business, and I had been mowing the lawn, and there was an area right on the property line that there was this bare spot, and this lady came out of the house, and was she upset, and she came over to me and called me all kinds of names and just trashed me. And before I could say anything, she took off for the house. And I went on mowing, and the longer I mowed, the more upset I got. And I just became, started becoming angry, and because I felt I had been unjustly treated. And the Lord brought that verse to me, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I was like, well, what does that have to do with what I'm going through? And then all of a sudden dawned on me that she's got a bare spot in her lawn over here. And she was upset because she thought my mower was doing that. So why not buy her some grass plugs? I was like, you know, you kind of wonder, well, why would you want to do that? She's the one that was treating me unjustly. And yet I knew that to deal with the anger that I was having, I had to resign myself. I'm going to go buy her some plugs. I'm going to invest in this. I'm going to spend money on this. And you know, when I decided to do that, the anger went away. because it's choosing to invest in a relationship. And I bought those grass plugs, and I went back, and she wasn't home, so I didn't want to work on her property, so I left them at the front door. I never did find out. She never did come back and talk to me, but I do know that the anger that I had at her went away. And I was able to, I didn't feel any resentment against her because of investing in that relationship, showing love, allowing Christ to show love through me. It doesn't always turn out that way. Some things are, that's kind of a trivial thing, grass, and yet some people get very upset about little things like that. But, you know, what happens with, in this situation with David and those that had come against him? He came to God with his offenses, and that's what we need to do, is to come to God with our offenses. Verse 3, express to God what his offender has done. You know, a lot of times when we talk about forgiveness, you just need to forgive. And that's true. We need to extend forgiveness to those who have offended us. But you don't just stuff the hurt. You don't just stuff that and not deal with it. And David here, he expressed to God what the offenders were doing. The voice of his offenders. Offenders are oppressing him. They cast iniquity upon me. In other words, falsehood or planning or expressing deception there. They hate me. And verse 4 expresses what he feels inwardly. In other words, David was being honest about what he was feeling, what was going on in his heart. My heart is pained. It was heart-wrenching, soul anguish. He also expressed having a polarizing fear, described as terror, fearfulness, trembling, horror. The fear consumed him. Verses 6, 7, and 8. He desired to flee from his circumstances. If I could just get away from this. Oh, that I had wings to fly away and be at rest. I would wander off and remain in the wilderness. I would quickly escape from this windy storm. You know, sometimes we would like to do that. When we're dealing with things that have happened in our past or offenses that have been committed against us, and we just can't seem to get away from it. If we could just run away, and David was saying, if I could just get away from this horrible situation, that's what he desired to do, and yet we can't do that. Verses 9 and 10 and 11 begins praying for his offenders, that God would stop and bring an end to their wrongdoing. Now, David here was praying for them, that God would stop them. And, you know, if someone continues to offend, we should be praying that they would stop that. But when we come to the place when we start praying for those who offend us, we have reached a level of, I believe, we've reached a level of love towards them when we can pray for them. I heard one minister say one time, one Bible teacher, that whenever that thought comes back about those who have offended you, turn that into a prayer time. Turn that into a prayer time for those individuals. Verses 12, 13, and 14. He laments that it was someone in his own family or a close family that had betrayed him. Someone within his own family, his own son had betrayed him in this way. And his close friends, his close advisor. In verse 16, 17, 18, he declares that he will call upon God. The Lord shall save me. You see where David is going with this offenses committed against him? He's going to God with them. And he is finding safety and refuge and help to overcome this offense committed against him. The Lord shall save me. He shall hear me. He hath delivered my soul. This deliverance is redeemed, means to redeemed. Our ability to overcome offenses committed against us is directly connected to secure forgiveness from our Lord for the offenses we have committed against Him. That's how serious it is concerning forgiveness, extending forgiveness to individuals, because it secures forgiveness for our sins that we have committed against God in seeking His forgiveness. Verse 21, he describes his offenders. His words were smooth, but there was war in his heart. You know, the psalmist David was very full of expression, very animated. He didn't keep it inside. He said what he thought. His words are softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Verse 22 declares he will give his burden offenses to the Lord. And my friends, giving our offenses or burdens to the Lord is how we deal with those. God, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to lay it at your feet. I'm going to let you take care of it. I'm going to pray for that person that offended me. I'm going to show love to that person. And leaving it there at his feet and letting God deal with it. The Lord will sustain me. He will not allow the righteous to lose out spiritually. And verse 23 declares that God will bring his offenders down. In Romans 12, 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Probably every one of us sitting here could raise our hand and say that there have been offenses committed against us. I'm sure there's every one of us could say that, yes, we have been offended at some time in our life. We do not have to allow those things that happen to us. They do not have to define who we are. We can be free. We can be liberated. We can be free from that. And even perceived offenses. I remember, it's been a number of years ago, I was at a large gathering. And when I came out of the gathering, I got to talking to a brother that was at that gathering. And he told me, he said, the speaker that had been speaking was, I thought he did an excellent job of proclaiming truth. But obviously, this brother thought he was kind of abrasive and hard, and so he told me, he said there was a lot of brothers in there that were offended by his speaking. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, because he spoke in a manner that that he perceived was, I guess, offensive or abrasive, or I don't know exactly what he was thought that the speaker had said. And so I told this individual, I said, if there were brothers that were offended there, I would think they chose to be offended. They were choosing, if that was the case. And we began talking about this, and the more he talked about this, the more I felt that, and began to realizing that sometimes offenses are they're perceived. We pick up an offense. We assume because someone said something or did something, we assume that they meant it against us, and we pick up this offense. And those will entrap us as well. Even those offenses that people did not even intend anything by. A lot of times that happens because there was a prior offense, maybe an unjust offense committed against us that we had never forgiven the person for. Therefore, we look through that lens of offense and we perceive that others are offending us when they really are not. Or we pick up offenses. That can happen. I mean, I've seen individuals who have been treated unjustly, and I became offended because someone treated them unjustly, and that's also picking up an offense. God gives grace to the individuals who have been offended. He gives us grace for offenses committed against us. And he gives us grace to overcome perceived offenses. It doesn't matter whatever if we have an offense that has been committed against us, whether perceived or an actual offense, there is grace to overcome that, and there's freedom and liberty to let go of that. Whatever, because offense will cause us to stumble, and it will entrap us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As we bow our heads for prayer this evening, most of you, I don't know who you are. I don't know your life. I don't know what has gone on in your life or anything about your past. You and God know that. Maybe something has happened. Maybe you've been treated unjustly in the past, or you have a victim mentality. A lot of times those who are in offended state, they blame everyone else for their problems. If God has spoken to you tonight, I'm just going to ask you here this evening if you would stand to your feet and say, you know what, there is something that I need to deal with in my life. There's someone I need to forgive. There's someone I need to release. And if God has spoken to you, I just ask you to stand to your feet and then we'll pray. Anyone here tonight? Yes, brother. Yes, brother. God bless you, sister. Anyone else yet before we close? Yes, sister. God bless you. The rest of you stand and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us grace to be overcomers. We thank you that we can come to you with our offenses. Offenses committed against us, and I pray for each of the individuals that have stood this evening. God, you know the situation that is in their heart and life. God, we pray that they could release those situations, those offenses. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would administer grace, and God, that you would pour your mercy and strength upon them tonight. Thank you, God, for their willingness to acknowledge that, yes, there is something that I need to release. There is somebody I need to forgive. There is that offense that I need to deal with. And God, would you your Holy Spirit minister healing to their hearts. And as the psalmist David, as he came to you to find refuge and strength, he came to you, Lord. So these individuals that have stood tonight have come to you. And God, I pray that you would pour your Spirit upon them, that you would give them strength and courage. And thank you, God, for the blessing of your word. Thank you, God, for giving us liberty and life through your word. And thank you for the blessing of being together as a body, the body of Christ tonight. We just pray, Lord, as we go from here this evening, God, we pray your grace upon us and that your word would not return to you void, but it would accomplish that which you purposed it for. God, we bless, we praise, and we honor you this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.